Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Okay. Thank you, Sam, for that introduction. Now, as we continue on our Impossible series, I would just like to start by opening on the most amazing verse in the Bible. Now, wait, before you question my integrity, hear me out. Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. To me, this verse speaks immensely about the amazing grace that God has for us, and that redemption and forgiveness is possible regardless of the sins committed. My soul, your soul, can be delivered from despair through the mercy of God. Now, funnily enough, the word grace is an acronym for God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is not only the basis of our salvation, but it is also the foundation of our security, sanctification, service, and ultimate survival as children of God in a hostile world. Now, this brings me on to the hymn that we will be looking at today. Have you guessed it? Amazing Grace, written by John Newton in 1772. Amazing Grace is one of the most beloved hymns of the last two centuries. Now let's have a look at the first verse. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. If we look at the first part of this verse, it tells us that God's grace is sweet. Now, when we describe something as sweet, we usually relate it to something that's delightful, kind, gentle. Now, through this, God is expressing to us that his grace is kind and delightful and gentle. And although we are undeserving of this, God still willingly gives us all of his grace. The next line, that saved a wretch like me. As we delve further into the first verse, God allows us to know that regardless of the fact that we're unfortunate or unhappy, he has and will continue to gladly save us. He will look past all of our flaws and our faults, and he will love us despite it all. I was a sinner, I'm not perfect, and I've done things that I'm not too proud of. I remember one time back in secondary school when one of the girls brought in a cigarette, and my first reaction was, OMG, I'm about to look so cool. But deep down, I knew it was wrong, and I knew this is not what I should be doing. But obviously, the cigarette came around, everyone was smoking it, and then, you guessed it, I smoked it too, and I regretted it. I regretted it the moment I'd done it, I regretted it before I'd done it. I knew, oh my gosh, when I go home, it's about to be my last supper. But regardless of the fact that I sinned, and I would have been seen as filthy with sin, God still saved me. And if you haven't been saved today, you can be. Now let's carry on. I once was lost, but now I'm found. In life, we're often misled, often taught to believe that we can do things on our own. God, we don't need you. We're good. But being without God just leads to an everlasting cycle of sin. But God is saying to us in this verse that in him we are found. In him, we're no longer wandering relentless. To him, we belong. I was a firm believer in science and evolution, but I came to an alpha led by our amazing pastor, Clive, and he definitely broke down that belief in science and evolution. He broke down all my walls and my barriers. And through the alpha course, I was able to see God's love for us and see God's heart. And that's what led me to him. God's given me a lot of opportunities and a lot of responsibility, but science and evolution never done that for me. It never opened doors. It never allowed me to work with the youth. It never done anything for me, but God did. And God gave me the opportunity to work with the youth in church. And I think one of the greatest things about working with the youth is being able to see the way grace has developed their walk in faith. Let's carry on. I was blind, but now I see. The last part of this verse declares how we're blind to sin and the sins of the world. We're blind to temptation, like me, and this makes us blind to God's grace. But it is in God's grace that we see his love to us, even though we're not worthy of it. So, what does this song tell us about God? This song tells me that God has so much love for us and so much care that he will look past our sin, our downfall, and our faults, and he will gladly save us from it. He will gladly love us for it all. John Newton wrote this song as he found redemption in the grace of God after nearly dying at sea. I mean, how traumatic. Newton meant the lyrics of Amazing Grace quite literally as a testimonial of the restoring power of God's love. The hymn's meaning and theme illustrate that even when we are lost, we can be found by grace. Grace is described as having various benevolent purposes, including redeemer, protector, guide, and joy bringer. The hymn is a great expression of the redemption and salvation available in God for this life and after. So what does this song tell us about ourselves? This song tells us that we have faults and we sin. We're human, but we don't see how lost we are, and we don't see the true road to salvation. We don't see life as it is. But we are saved by grace. The scripture, Romans 5 verse 8, clearly states that even our faith is a gift of God's grace. Is it not tremendous that God's loving grace is manifest that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us? Romans 5 verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we look at ourselves, what are we really like? Can we contend with Paul's observation that there is none righteous, there is none that seek after God? Can we argue with Paul's conclusion that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Until we see ourselves collectively and individually in this true light, we cannot really know the grace of God. Until we accept the fullness of our sin, we will not be able to give God the glory of eternally saving us by grace through faith. What spoke to me the most and how it will affect our lives is that we think we can do things on our own, but in reality, we are nothing without the grace of God. Without God, we're sheep with no shepherd. But God is willing to call us home with open arms, regardless of the person we are or the things we've done. But we need to see how much grace he gives us. And sometimes we allow sin to come into our lives and ruin the work of grace. Paul cautions that the blessings of grace upon a yielded life can be hindered by sin. Romans 6 verse 12 says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires." Our willingness to confess our sin and seek God's forgiveness and healing may hinder our service. The floodgates of God's grace and power can be released only when we are right with him. So how is my life and your life going to change in light of what has been revealed today? So, we should be appreciative for all God gives us and for all he does. I mean, we're his treasured children, purchased by the blood of the Lamb. Our stay on earth is temporary until we too are called home. But while on this earth, we may face trials and we may face tribulations, but we have that promise that we will make it home safe by grace. Jesus said in John 14, verse 1 to 4, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust in also me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am." As God's purchased possession, we are given on our spiritual birthday a first-class ticket to abundant life and godliness. I mean, I don't know about you, but that just sounds amazing. We are not only guaranteed a safe voyage home, which is heaven, but we are given the first class ticket of grace for our journey. Grace is not only the basis of our salvation, but it is also the foundation of our security, sanctification, service, and ultimate survival as children of God in a hostile world. So, today, do you need God's first class ticket of grace for your journey? If you're joining us today and you've never received the grace of God before, I have some good news. Grace of God is not something that can be earned. You can't win it in a raffle. You can't beg for it. It's a free gift from God, a gift that we don't deserve, but through Jesus, who died on the cross for us, God meets our indifferences with forgiveness, and we receive the grace of God. If you want to receive the free gift of God's grace in your life today, I would like you to open your hearts and receive and follow me in this prayer of repentance. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. I would now like you to say your sorrows to God. He is listening. His heart is open to you. He is forgiving you now. God loves you. I now turn from everything that I know is wrong. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for me, for my sins, and for setting me free. Please come into my life. Please come into my heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you offer me the free gift of your Holy Spirit and your grace. I now receive that free gift. If you've prayed that prayer for the first time today, I'd like to say congratulations and welcome to the family. You have now received that free gift. Amen.